Stand, if you're able. We'll begin in verse 26. If you're there, say amen real loud.
Amen.
All right. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this day. Lord, pray for this message. Lord, pray primarily this morning for the lost soul out there. Maybe they're young. Maybe they're just now hearing about Jesus, and they've not yet put their faith and trust in Jesus. Maybe there's people here today that have somewhere in their life had a religious experience or an emotional experience, and they know deep in their heart they're truly not saved. Or there may be some people here that just don't know for sure. Lord, I pray this message will help clear up and to help them find their way to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a decision for Christ. If you're ever going to be saved, it won't be because you are at church. It won't be because you're at church, and it won't even because you were put into a baptismal pool or a creek or wherever you may have been baptized. It won't be because of any of those things. It won't be because you were nice to somebody. Amen? There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. So we find in our account this morning this Ethiopian eunuch, and I know that usually when I have been the one going through these scriptures, I usually lean it towards the side of the one that needs to be the witness being led of the Holy Spirit. And that's true. That doesn't change in this account. But this morning, I primarily want to think about the Ethiopian eunuch. He has been to Jerusalem. He is some type of representative. Now, it would seem as though he was the treasurer for Candace of Ethiopia, and he's holding the money. It kind of says that. So he's holding a position of authority. Maybe he was a representative. I don't know. But maybe he's come to Jerusalem. He's come every year. I don't know. Or maybe he's come because he's heard about Jesus in some sense. He's come to worship. But all he did really was just do some religious jumping jacks, if you will. Because in this account here, it's pretty plain that he doesn't even know who Jesus is. So this guy is traveling down the road, and Philip, who is a deacon of the church there in Jerusalem has been asked by God to move out into the desert and then led by the Spirit to this man. And at the right time, he hears him reading from the book of Isaiah. That's what Isaiah means when you read it there. And there God meets this man. And he meets him by the witness, and he meets him by the word. But yet there has to be a decision for Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're lost, I'm telling you that you have to make a decision. You can't stand on the fence. You can't stand on the side of the road. Because just like that road out there, that road goes two different directions. It goes east and it goes west. The road that you're on spiritually, you're either on your way to hell or you're on your way to heaven. If you stand in the road going to hell, you will never end up on the road to heaven. Never. And the semi-truck of judgment that God brings forth will take you straight to the lake of fire. But once you get on the path, once you get on the road to heaven, your destination is sealed because of what Jesus Christ, and we've talked about the last few weeks, what he did on the cross of Calvary, and what the fact that he died, he shed his blood, he was a sinless sacrifice for our sins. We'll talk about that a little bit about that this morning. And the fact that he was risen from the grave. So this morning, what does the Bible tell us? What does it tell us in this account? Now I know there's a lot more about Jesus in the Bible, so I'm not giving you all that. If that was the case, we'd be here for a while. Amen? We won't go that far. But he, I've set you up in this story, and it tells us here in verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. I don't have a bunch of slick word for you this morning. But what I do have for you, this man was reading about Jesus and he didn't know it. But when Philip comes and sheds some light on that, I want to back up with that knowledge from what he was reading here. Jesus voluntarily came to this world. He voluntarily, what does it say here? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Here's the Son of God, Jesus Christ, allows himself to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that Judas is coming to betray him, knowing the exact place, knowing he's going to come kiss him and identify him. They're going to bound him and take him. He knows everything that's going to happen, but yet he goes right towards that spot. He never backs up. He never draws away. Now, there's a few times during his ministry he said, my hour's not yet come. But his hour had come. He told the disciples, he said, my hour is here. And his hour was there. He was going to be led like a sheep to the slaughter. He was going to hang on that cross for you and for me. And we needed that. And it tells us here that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And he could have called, my mother used to sing this song at our church, he could have called 10,000 angels. And I believe that because he says, could I not call legions of angels? If you remember, I think it's in 1st or 2nd Kings, I think it's 2nd Kings, that one angel killed 185,000 soldiers. Think if 10,000 angels come. I think of the song that Salvation Rain sings, and they had ministered, those angels in heaven had ministered to Jesus all those years, and when God said, it's time for you to go, son, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was in Mary, and he was given birth, and he became the incarnate Son of God. That song says that the angels were sitting there waiting, and when they were getting ready to put him on the cross, those angels were ready to go and protect him. And God says, sit still, sit down, angels. This is not your fight. He's saving the world. Angels, sit down. You stay over there. You could save him, but no. Because why? Because he's like a lamb dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. He could have spoke a word. Remember what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came? And he just speaks and they all fall down. They all get back up. He said, "Who are you looking for?" See, Jesus could have gotten out of it, but he didn't want to. He didn't. That wasn't the plan. So what do we know about it in the Bible? He voluntarily comes. Look in verse 33. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Even though Jesus was the sinless, perfect sacrifice, he was as the just dying for the unjust. That would be us. In other words, what they did, putting him on the cross, really was unjustified. But in God's eyes, it was the only way that we could reach heaven. It's the only way that it could have happened. So if you're here today, and what do you need to know about Jesus? You need to know that you're a sinner. You need to know that Jesus was not a sinner. And he died for you so that your sins can be covered. Jesus died for the unjust. Look at the end of verse 33. For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this?" Can you see the despair? I know at 10 years old, I was at that revival meeting, sitting in that pew, and I'd already heard about Jesus numerous times. I was a drug child, I was drugged to church, drugged out of church, and sometimes by my ear and sometimes in other ways. But that one day, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and I knew that if I walked out of that church without Jesus Christ at 10 years old and something happened, I would not go to heaven. And how people can so nonchalantly just like, you know, I need to get saved, or I'm not sure. I think you need to address that situation today. That's what was happening here to the Ethiopian eunuch. He gets here and he goes, "I want to know about this guy that says he come voluntarily and he is going to die. Who was it?" Well, Philip only has one message, and that is what? Jesus. That's what he says in verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So I think we should go to Isaiah 53, which is where this man was reading. What do you need to know about Jesus? What do you need to know about Jesus? You need to know that he lived, he died, he was buried, and he was resurrected, but you need to know a few other things, I think, that will help. There's a lot of things that will help. Look in Isaiah 53, verse 4. I'm going to stress the words, but I want you to recognize the word "our" or "we" or some pronoun such as that. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." I think Philip went back to the book of Isaiah and said, "Hey, look, he's laid it all on him." What? Your sins, your iniquities, your trespasses, your uncleanliness. Look at verse 6. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone from his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, what? The iniquity of us all. You can even back up to verse number 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. I can say this looking back, and I still don't do a very good job of it, but I cannot understand for the life of me how God saved me and how I just so quickly in those years, in my teen years, just turned away from him. Here's the Son of God come to die for Rick Stump. I seen spiritually Tim that I needed him, and I went up and he met my need that day and he saved me. And I turned from him. And even now when I'm trying to serve him and striving to learn more about him, I trip and fall today. But I want to let you know, folks, that God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Spirit of God, is always there wanting to get your attention. Did you hear me? I could ask at this point how many of us are playing video games, how many of us have hobbies, how many of us have different things that take so much time away from our life that we never read the Word of God, we never pray, and we can't stay faithful to the house of God. That just blows me away. Look at verse 8 here in Isaiah 53. This God that set all this up to get us off of that highway to hell and put us on the road to heaven, the least we could do is to recognize him, right? That doesn't mean you have to get up and tell anybody. Just tell him. And that light will be shining through you. Look at verse 8. And he was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. Think about this. God did all of this for you and for me. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you and for me. And we act like, well, boy, we really thank you, Lord. Let's go home. Let's go do our thing. I'm guilty. Let's go do our thing. Let's don't worry about what God did. And said, yet in verse 10 it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. How many of y'all like to see your kids get hurt? How many times have I watched something that either one of my boys, that maybe they get hit, fall or whatever, or a baseball hit them, and you're like, well, you really get interested. I mean, you don't want anybody to get hurt, but when it's your kid, it's even heightened even more, right? You got these little kids. How would you like to say, you know what? I'd like to see them die on a cross so that souls can be saved. I want to sign up for that. I'm going to sign up my firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn. I'm going to sign him up for that. He's going to go die on a cross. They're going to beat him, spit on him, mock him, make fun of him. And they're going to hang him up there and just let him die. That's what I want to sign up for. God, before man was ever created, said, that's how I'm going to redeem him. And Jesus said, I'll go, Father. I'll go. And the Holy Spirit said, if you go, I will help to bring about conviction so that it'll draw men to you. See, that's what's happening in our account. Our Ethiopian eunuch has read the Word of God. He's got a messenger that's come. You don't have to have all those things necessarily, but the Spirit of God is speaking to him, and he has said, hey, who is this guy? I want you to go back to Acts 8, please. In verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now at first, You might think the Ethiopian eunuch thinks that baptism can save you. But that's not really, I don't think, what's going on. Now, I usually am not one that assumes much in the Scriptures. I probably get in trouble with that because I can make some of the accounting that I give of the Scriptures more exciting. But here I'm going to assume he's been to Jerusalem. I'm also going to assume that he has seen and heard about this new way, the way that, as they called it in that day, what we would call Christianity, the movement. And I'd also say he probably stepped somewhere close and seen people being baptized. And he associated that with the way in baptism. And he looked at Peter and said, hey, here's some water. Can I be identified with this guy like these other people were and become part of the way? Maybe you're at that road right now. You're like, you know, what step do I need to take? Well, baptism can't happen until you get saved. Once you get saved, you should get baptized. And I want you to look, pay close attention. You got your Bible. In verse 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I'm asking you this morning, have you been converted from your heart? The Bible tells us in Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I believe at the point where he says, What? Here's water, what doth hinder me? I believe the Ethiopian eunuch had already believed in his heart. I'm assuming that. But you know what? I don't have to say that that's all that we get with the Ethiopian eunuch, because you know what? He goes on and makes his confession. See, no matter what you have in your heart, you need to go ahead and let God know and let God's people know and tell everybody. Look at what it says here. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're here today and you're lost, you've never been saved, and you know that if you died today, if you took your last breath, that you'd spend eternity in hell, you need to make that decision. You need to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe, as what he was reading there in Isaiah, he understood from the Scriptures and what he understood from Isaiah and what he understood from the Holy Spirit dealing with him, he needed to make a decision. And as soon as this Ethiopian eunuch says that, Philip says, hey, stop the chariot. This man's born again. He's made his decision. And they went down into the water and they got baptized. I'm not promoting baptism this morning, but I will say that if you've been saved and you've never been identified with Jesus Christ in baptism or his church, it's a scriptural thing. It's an obedience thing. But I also am here to tell you this morning, this is my main thrive. You're here this morning, you're lost. You know you're lost. You know that what, you like I started off this morning, you may have been to a church service, had an emotional service or emotional account, or maybe you went together with a group and said some words, but you know deep in your heart that you're not saved. You need to get that right. Because you can have a no-so salvation. And you can walk out that door this morning knowing in your heart that you and God have it settled. Because that's why God sent forth his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So this is what I want to do this morning. I'm going to ask Jace and them to come forward. You stay seated for just a minute. I want to ask everybody this morning, I want to get your attention, and we're going to have sing a song, a verse or two of invitation. If you're here this morning and you're lost, I don't want you to raise your hand or feel like that anybody's going to look at you, but I want to tell you that I've been praying for you this week. I'll pray for you next week, but it's been a special focus of my prayer this week. I don't know the hearts of anybody here this morning. Only God does. But I know there's some people that I know of that have not made professions of faith that attend our church. And there may be some people that have made professions in the past that were not true. There's no greater decision than to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when we stand up, we're going to be singing a song of invitation. It'll be your opportunity to come forward. I can show you in the Bible. I can pray with you. I can answer whatever questions. I may not know the answers. Maybe you want to bring a friend with you. Maybe you want to come pray for a lost person. I don't know. Whatever the need is, when we stand up after I pray, I'm asking you, if you're not sure, you want to get it right, I want you to make your move when we stand up. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I pray for the soul out there this morning that's not sure. Maybe I pray really for the soul that has been brought under spiritual conviction. They know right now that they're lost. The simple solution is to just put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, give them the strength to just take that step of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.